I'll be reading from 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. The Bible says, God says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Let us pray. Lord, we do thank you for the promises in your precious word. And Lord, we are your people called by your name, Christians. And Lord, may we humble ourselves before you and seek your face, seek your presence, Lord, this new year. And Lord, may this be a time of revival in Cooper Baptist Church. May this be a time of revival in the state of Louisiana. Lord, your conditions is that if your people will do it. So Lord, I pray that we will humble ourselves before you and seek you and do all that that entails. And may it be for your glory, Almighty God, in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Humbling ourselves for revival. Humbling ourselves. The word humility is a word, it seems, in our English language, in the language that you and I use today, it means to be a very weak person, one that you just give in to everything. That's not what being humble for revival means. Because if we give in to everything and compromise our Christian faith and our Christian walk, then we're not seeking the face of God. So humbling ourselves, being humble before God and humble before one another, is so important for revival. It means to seek God and seek Him first and realize who God is in our lives. And when we really realize who God is to you and I, it'll make us humble. See, those who spend more time with God are the most humble people you'll know, because they spend time with God. And when we spend time with God, it'll humble us. I read a story, though, that I want to share with you about how God humbles preachers. Y'all want to hear this one? Amen. Y'all need to know how to humble a preacher, right? God knows how to humble preachers. There was a visiting evangelist to the church, and he felt like he preached a dynamic message, and at the back door, as the people were going by, you know, the usual good sermon, good message. And, you know, he was feeling good about the message that he had just preached. And then one lady came through the line and said, "It was too loud." Then she circles back around and gets back in the line. And as she goes back by, she says, "It was too long." Then circles around, gets back in the line again, and he was trying to keep his composure, and everyone else was saying, "Good message, good message, good job." Then she comes back around and says, "It was also boring." Well, the chairman of the deacons of that church decided he better step in, so he whispers into the preacher's ear and said, "Don't worry about her. She's kind of senile. She only repeats what she hears others say." Humility. Humility is so important. Charles Haddon Spurgeon says this, his definition of humility. Humility is to make a right estimate of oneself. Another great Christian man Bill Gothard says, humility is recognizing that God and others are responsible for the achievements in my life. God and others are responsible. Humility. Humbling ourselves for revival. You see, pride is the opposite of humility. It's the opposite. Pride promotes self rather than God. Pride doesn't consider God in one's lifestyle. It doesn't consider God in one's lifestyle. It does not consult with God in decisions. It does not consult with God in decisions. You see, when we are prideful and not humble before God, we tend to make decisions without seeking God on the decisions. Also, pride does not desire to serve and worship God before self. When we are worshiping self in our pride instead of God, anything can take the place of worship. Whether it be sports or hobbies or sleeping in or being lazy or anything can take the place when you worship self instead of worshiping God. When we worship our pride, also it is often characterized by selfishness, stubbornness, and worldliness. Pride. It is characterized by these three things. Also, pride does not genuinely seek God nor seek to please God. When you are a prideful person instead of a humble person before God, who are you seeking to please? Yourself instead of God. Also, pride promotes spiritual pride. Instead of humble before God, we become prideful even with our spirituality. And we start comparing ourselves with others and say, well, I'm better than them. Folks, that kept me out of church. When Alicia and I first got married, we knew to be in church. And I went to church and then I started comparing myself to those other guys that I worked with. They were praying in church and doing all sorts of the church stuff, and I watched them in Sunday school. They even went to Sunday school. I watched them in church, but then I saw them at work, and I started comparing myself to them, said, I am better than they are. Why do I even go to church with them? I dropped out of church. Spiritual pride. You know, you can't, when you drop out of church and public worship of a holy God and fellowship with others and fellowship with God, you know what happens? You become worldly. You become worldly. Spiritual pride also, when we think about spiritual pride, we become connoisseurs of words. Did you know that? We become connoisseurs of words that we will even follow, or may I say worship, good speakers or orators. We'll say, hey, we need to listen to him. Look at all the followers he has, and yet that person may not be preaching repentance before a holy God, and you need to repent of sin and turn to Christ. But because of words and connoisseurs of words, we become prideful. We become so prideful and know all the Bible terms and words and connoisseurs of words that when the Word of God, when you read it or it's preached or taught to you, it's like shooting you with a Red Ryder BB gun and you're a tank. What happens if you shoot a tank with a Red Ryder BB gun? It'll bounce off. Because of spiritual pride, and we know everything that we think we should know about God. No one else can teach us or preach to us And we become connoisseurs of the Word instead of seeking God in His Word. And being hungry for God's Word in our lives. So pride is the opposite of humility, and it affects our Christian walk in so many aspects of our life. Pride hinders revival. If you're seeking revival in your personal life and seek revival in this church and in our state, we got to let go of pride. Because pride hinders revival. You know why it hinders revival? Because when self is promoted more than God and anything in the world comes between you and God and the worship of God, you know what? In a revival, the Spirit of God, instead of working through you and reaching others through you, and you being a witness in your daily walk, and the Spirit of God increasing the kingdom through you, the Spirit of God has to work on you and has to prod you and woo you and say, you know, maybe you ought to maybe want to go to worship more. Maybe you need to read your Bible more. Maybe you need to stop doing this and seeking me more. And the Spirit of God has to work on you instead of working through you. So pride hinders revival. Humility is a natural response to a knowledge of the holiness of God. When we're seeking revival in our personal lives, in our families, and in our church, when we're in the presence of God, we can't help but being humble. You see, when we become spiritual prideful, we really get excited when we're in our own presence. Or we look at what we've accomplished or what we're doing. But when you're in the presence of God, He humbles you. Doesn't he? To be in the fellowship of God and to really know Him and to be in His presence, it humbles you. To know Him in His fullness, it humbles you. Because you realize who He is and what He's done for you and His amazing grace, His marvelous grace that has saved a wretch like me and you. It'll humble you. Being in the presence of God, folks, will humble you. Here's an example. John chapter 3. John chapter 3, beginning in verse 30. The disciples of John the Baptist came to John the Baptist and started telling him that everyone's following Jesus and being baptized by Jesus now, not you. Listen to what John the Baptist says. Verse 30 of John chapter 3. He must increase, but I must decrease. He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. And what he has seen and heard, that he testifies, and no one receives his testimony. He who has received his testimony has certified that God is true. For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God. For God does not give the Spirit by measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. And he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. You see, you don't have God unless you know Jesus. Plain and simple. Anything other than that's spiritual pride. But John the Baptist said, Jesus must increase, and I must decrease. When we're in the presence of God, that's what happens. When you spend time in the presence of God and in the fellowship with God, you decrease, and He increases. When you spend time in His Word and you seeking Him in prayer and seeking Him in His Word, He increases. You decrease. The humility of God is amazing also. Think of the metaphors and the descriptions in Revelation concerning our Lord. He is called the Lion of the tribe of Judah. All-powerful. He is in the throne. And all power and glory and dominion is given to Him. But He's a Lamb. Another description in Revelation, the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. A helpless little lamb, a bloody lamb. That's humility. All powerful. Yet He has humbled Himself. Philippians chapter 2 took a form of a servant and took the death of the cross for you and I. That's humility. Humility. And when we are in His presence, and He is filling us, and He is increasing, and we're decreasing, a natural response is humility on our part. Humility. Doesn't matter who you are. It humbles us. See, the ground is level at Calvary. Amen. Let the rich say, I am poor, and let the poor say, I am rich, because we have the presence of God. And when He increases and we decrease, it humbles us. Equal sacrifices in the church. Humility. You see, when it comes to revival and humbling ourselves before a holy God, you cannot enjoy the holiness of God on your own terms. Won't happen. Can't be on your terms. It must be on His terms. And that promise in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. That's God's terms. We cannot be saved on our terms. If you're saved on your terms, then you can serve on your terms. You can quit or start again or do whatever you want to when you're saved on your terms. But if you've been born again on God's terms, it's all different. It's a different thing because you've been bought with a price. You're not your own. You belong to God when it's on His terms. You cannot enjoy His holiness on your own terms. It must be on His. The story of the great Welsh revival in 1904. A 22-year-old man, Evan Roberts. He identified four things in the message that began this great Welsh revival. I'm going to share with you these four things. Number one, put away all unconfessed sin. Put it away. Get rid of it. Pull out all the trash that you have planted in your heart and in your mind, put it away and start planting the Word of God in your heart and in your mind. Confess before God. Put away all unconfessed sin. Hey, we're talking about spending time in the holiness of God and humbling ourselves, okay? You must confess sin and repent of sin. Put it away. Number two, put away all doubtful habits. If you and I have to have a great discussion, you have to justify to me about your drinking or your gambling or homosexuality or gluttony or and all of that kind of stuff, and you have to have a great big discussion with me, then it's a doubtful habit. Don't put a stumbling block before others. That's the Word of God. Don't do it. Put away all doubtful habits. Number three, obey the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit of God prompts you to do something, then do it. Obey the Holy Spirit of God. Number four, confess Christ publicly. Confess Him publicly. You come out of the closet, why don't you? Everyone else is, why don't us Christians start confessing publicly too? You come out of the closet. Let the salt be flavorable again. Quit playing church. My goodness. Come out of the closet. You stand up and confess, I am born again. That's the four things that started a great spiritual revival in 1904. It's a shame we got to go back over 100 years, isn't it? You cannot enjoy the holiness of God on your terms. It must be on His. If my people will do it. Let us pray. God, we're nothing apart from You. Everything we have and the air we breathe, You have given it to us. God, we certainly cannot save ourselves on our terms. It must be on Your terms. We can only serve You on Your terms. We can only be in Your holiness and Your presence, Lord, if we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. God, please revive us. Revive me. Revive me. Amen.